couple of weeks ago, I shared about a call for prayer and fasting. And at the end of the message, I quoted a couple of verses from Isaiah 58. Since that time, I felt that the Lord wanted me to go through it fully, the whole chapter, Isaiah 58. And so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to go through Isaiah chapter 58. So, Father, I just thank you for your word. And Lord, I ask that as I share that you would be the one instructing, you would be the one inputting and giving us revelation and to the things that are on your heart. And I ask that in Jesus' name. So we're going to go through this basically almost line by line. And I'll give you some thoughts and comments and we'll go from there. Isaiah 58, cried loudly, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet and declare to my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me day by day and delight to know my ways as a nation that has done righteousness and has not forsaken the ordinances of God. They ask for my just decisions. They delight in the nearness of God. Why have you fasted and do not, why have we fasted and do not say, see? And why have we humbled ourselves and you do not notice? Well, first of all, I want to give you where this is taking place. Isaiah's ministry, took place during four different kings in the kingdom of Judah, because at that time, you know that the two kingdoms were separate. Israel was separate from Judah. Israel was the northern kingdoms. Judah was the southern kingdom. And there was four kings, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. And according to Isaiah 1, that's everything that everything in Isaiah spoke came through or came about during that particular time period. And the reason I want to point out that time period, because it's very significant. During Isaiah's time, he was probably, I'm calculating, in his early 20s. He actually saw the Assyrians come and remove Israel from their place, and they took them captive, and we basically don't hear from Israel anymore. So he actually saw that, and now he's prophesying to the nation Judah, the last couple of tribes there, and they're following the same pattern as Israel. The whole moral society has become so corrupt. Especially during Ahaz's time. Ahaz was a very, very corrupt king to the point where he actually sacrificed his son to the to other gods. And so Isaiah speaking, the Lord says, speak loudly, cry like a trumpet. He has like almost like scream in their faces that he wants them to understand, he wants them to get what's going on. Because here they are, thinking that they're in good standing with God. Because that's exactly what God says. I'm not guessing at this. This is exactly what the Lord is saying. He says, you seek me day by day and delight to know my ways as a nation that has done righteousness. But they hadn't done righteousness. And you ask me for just decisions. And you delight in the nearness of God. So they probably liked all the religious pomp and stuff going into the temple and all these sacrifices and the music and all this stuff. And yet they were so far from God. They were so far from Him. And He actually quotes them. He's quoting the people. Why have we fasted and you do not see? Why have we humbled ourselves and you do not notice? He says, behold, on the day of your fast, you find your desire and you drive hard your workers. Behold, you fast for contention and strife and to strike with a wicked fist. You do not fast like you do today to make your voice heard on high. Is this the fast which I choose, a day for a man to humble himself? Is it for bowing one's head like a reed and for spreading out sackcloth and ashes on a bed? Will you call this a fast, even an acceptable day of the Lord? The custom was for them to change their clothes and put sackcloth, to lay out on sackcloth, put ashes over their head and make it look like they were mourning and calling upon God. It was just this religious thing that they were doing, and God was not answering their call. And so the Lord is now exposing why they are not in right standing with him. That's because their motive, it says, was their own desire. It says, behold, in the day you fast to find your own desire. It wasn't finding the desire of the Lord. Their people are taking out their frustration on their laborers. They are fasting with contentious and strife-filled attitude, even willing to fight. The fast is missing the point of making their voice heard on high. The people are also making a public scene with their fast, wallowing in their sackcloth and ashes. Then the Lord questions them, is this the fast that I choose? So these are like really desperate times, and yet God, in those desperate times, he gets very serious. He's very serious. He's very pointed to show them why they're not being answered. Excuse me. And I personally can relate to that circumstance. Here's a few things I've learned as I've fasted over the years. Fasting is not fun. Everybody agree to that? It's not fun. In fact, for me, by the end of even one day of fasting, my attitude toward others changed. And it's not for the better. I get grumpy and impatient. Just ask my wife. I mean, really, it's just, it's like all of a sudden I get so self-focused, right? Rather than God-focused, that I'm just impatient with so many things. So those are a couple of things I learned. Also, one of the things good about fasting is you save money. And you save time. And you have fewer dishes to wash, right? I mean, think about it. You're actually gaining something from it. And then also, after some disappointing letdowns, fasting is not a time for me to get what I want from the Lord. I remember years ago, we had a minister come in. His name was Mahesh Shavda. And his testimony is just a tremendous testimony, where he's going all over the world. He's healing people. He raised a boy from the dead. And it's like, oh, Lord, that's what I want. And his testimony was that the Lord led him to do these two 40-day fasts every year. It's like, oh, Lord, that's the answer. So I'm going to start fasting so I can be like him. And, you know, I was disappointed because, first of all, I can never go 40 days, especially when you're working full time. But I was seeking out something for myself. I wasn't looking for what the Lord would have for me. I mean, Mahesh's story goes, I'm not going to go into his story, but his story was looking for the Lord and his circumstance, and the Lord told him, I want you to do this. He wasn't telling me to do this. I was just looking at a man, and I wanted to copy him, and hopefully I'd have his ministry, right? But it didn't play out, as you can tell, right? Thank you, Lord. But fasting is a time to present my request to the Lord and listen to his response. We can make, it says, make a request known to him. And fasting, when done with a proper attitude, is a humbling of ourselves in order to obtain grace and direction for the things that God has predestined for us to do. Fasting is not a religious event to show to the world. It's spiritual warfare that we do in secret. Here's a quote from Matthew 6:16-18. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but your Father who sees it done in secret will reward you. So here Jesus is saying the same things 700 years as what the Lord was telling Israel. Same exact thing. You're putting on this show. What are you doing that for? Okay, let's go to verse 6. Is this not the fast which I choose? To loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke? Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into the house, when you see the naked to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? That has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with everybody around me. When I read this, I was reminded of the parable of the Good Samaritan. A Samaritan was hated by Jews. And there's a guy that gets beaten up and he's almost dead on the road. And a priest and a Levite see him. They go to the other side of the road and they walk by him. But the Samaritan sees him and he has compassion on the man. He binds him and heals him. He puts bandages on him. He was probably bleeding. And I bet the other two men didn't want to touch him because they would become unclean. But, you know, becoming unclean is just like a momentary thing. You could just accidentally touch someone's blood and you have to go wash. And it's not that big of a deal. So they could easily just help this guy and found out what he was doing. If they were unclean, they would have to go wash and do the ritual thing, right? But they didn't even want anything to do with that. But this guy goes not only the second mile, I think he goes the third mile. He brings him to a place that's safe. And he says, please take care of him. And if there's more expenses that are needed to pay, I will pay you when I return. This guy took care of him. He placed him in a home. And he made sure that he was well. Again, it's not about us. It's about what the Lord would have us do and how we could minister to other people, how we could touch their lives and make them better. In this list, to loosen the bonds of wickedness, undo the bands of the yoke, let the oppressed go free, break every yoke, divide your bread with the hungry, bring the homeless poor into the house, cover the naked, and do not hide yourself from your own flesh. Each of these will require a sacrifice in some way. And whether it's an actual fast and time for prayer for the particular, whether it is an actual fast and time and prayer for the situation, or an actual giving of your own food to someone who is hungry, actually inviting someone into your home who has no home, to put actual clothing on another person, either by giving him some of your own clothing or buying something new. And you will most likely have to get out of your comfort zone to do these things. That's what I believe that it says, do not hide yourself from your own flesh. I was thinking fear, intimidation, and apathy is what causes us to back out and to get away from these situations, just like the Pharisee and the priest and the Levite did. They didn't want anything to do with this, so they went to the other side of the road. Second Peter chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence, for by these he has granted us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. He's given us everything that we need to do the things that he calls us to do. And like I said, we'd have to get out of our comfort zone most of the time to do those things. Back to Isaiah 58. Verse 8. Then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth, and your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call on the Lord. You will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, "Here I am." You see, that's what they were looking for. But the Lord basically says, if you give, you'll be blessed. I will be blessed, because it says, your light, your recovery, your righteousness, your rear guard. And you will call. And you will cry, and he will answer. And he says, "Here I am." What a glorious thing that is. Matthew 5:14 says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." It says in Isaiah, it said, your light will go forth. And we know Jesus is the light of the world, but he's in us, so we now become the light of the world because he is in us. Isn't that our desire? Is that his light would go forth through us into all of our activities? Even in a time of having to restrict our body from receiving food, we should be expressing the Lord too, and not being grumpy and impatient and testy and all that sort of stuff. the second part of verse time. It says, if you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking of wickedness. So here's something else that the Lord is adding that needs to stop. It's not an if, it's a must. And then it goes on. And if you give yourself to the hungry, satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will rise in darkness, your gloom will become like midday, and the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched places and give you strength to your bones. And you will be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. That should be the testimony of our lives. Or let's put it this way. I think that's what God desires for our lives, is to be like a watered garden. I love a really nice garden when the flowers are lush. And unfortunately, this year, because of the lack of rain, my garden looks brown and all disheveled and a lot of weeds in it. Luke 6:38 also says, it says, give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. It's not, what a great promise. Give, and it will be given to you. After being a thief in my former years, because I needed money, I would steal money. I did not know how to give. But as the Lord transformed my life, I learned to give, and now I have not only enough for my needs, but I'm able to give to others as well. It's a real blessing. Okay, let's move on here. There's not much left here, is there? Verse 12. So let me just repeat the fruits that were just listed. It says, your light will rise in darkness. Your gloom will be like midday. The Lord will continually guide you. He will satisfy your desire in scorched places. He will give strength to your bones, and you'll be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Then he says in verse 12, those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of the streets in which to dwell. I was thinking, whether or not Isaiah understood that Israel was going to be taken away and that they would return from their captivity. I'm just wondering, because that's exactly what happens. They get taken away into captivity. They're there for 70 years. The Lord prophesies their release. That's what Daniel fasted for. He was seeing these words in Jeremiah. And what do they mean, Lord? And the Lord began to reveal to them that they were going to be released from captivity, come back and rebuild the temple. And they were going to come back to where they were taken from. But when I think about the repair of the breach, I think about the breach that we all had with God before we were saved. There was a huge chasm that no one could cross. God was there, and I was here in my sin. And what does God do? He comes, and he makes that bridge. He makes the way possible where there was no other way. And he repaired that breach. And then it says to in Corinthians, it says that we have now been given that ministry, the ministry of reconciliation, so that we now can become repairers of a breach, whether it's in your spouse or your children or family members or neighbors or people in the church, could be anybody. He's given us that ministry. And like I said, he's given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. So we have the ability to do those things. Because that's what our God is. He's a restorer. He's a healer. And he likes to adopt children. So the Lord adds one more piece to what's going on in that situation. This is verse 13. Again, verse 14. If because of the Sabbath... Now he's giving them good instructions. If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure, and speaking your own word, then you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. It's interesting. There's two places in verse 9, where it says the pointing of the figure and speaking of wickedness. And here at the end of verse 13, it says speaking your own word. I thought very interesting about the word fasting. The word fasting has an interesting meaning. It means to cover over the mouth. And I obviously always took it as stopping from things going in. But I think it also means covering from what's coming out of the mouth as well, because out of your mouth, the heart speaks, or out of the heart, the mouth speaks, however that verse goes. So it's like the Lord is, to me, he's speaking two things here. Fasting is good, and we have to do it rightly, and we have to, you know, cover our mouth from putting things in, but you also need to be careful about what's coming out of my mouth at the same time, because that's when I get grumpy and all that stuff, and I start saying things I shouldn't be saying, and I start pointing the finger, you know, you did this, or you whatever it may be, right, for any of us. But what's interesting about that scripture, I don't know if you remember this testimony, but I'm going to give you a kind of a quick overview. It's a testimony from Owen Carey. Years ago, he used to be like a manager and He was the coach and the manager of some baseball team. And the team played on Sundays. And he was so anxious to get to the game, he would actually come to the church service dressed in his uniform. And so as soon as the service was over, he was like, I'm out of here and I'm going to the game. So I don't know when it was. I mean, he did that for a season, right? And he said one day he picked up a hitchhiker. And the hitchhiker was, you know, going somewhere. And the hitchhikers, they're driving down a road and there's no homes or anything there. It's just an open field. And he says, oh, you can stop here and let me out. And so he gets out of the car and he turns and he puts his head in the window and he says, read Isaiah 58. And he walks over this little berm and he's gone. And Owen's like, what? He said, who is this guy? So he gets out of the car and he tries to find the guy and he's like gone. He said on the other side of the hill was this big open field and there was no person. Could it have been an angel? I don't know. So he goes home and he reads Isaiah 58 and he reads these last couple of verses about honoring the Sabbath. And he was so convicted, he quit the team, he quit being manager, and he told the team, he actually sat the team down and said, guys, I'm done with this. I have to be on church on Sunday. So there was something where the God convicted him, and he just knew that that was the Lord speaking to him. So I thought that was very interesting. You guys ever remember that story? A couple of people do, yeah. Okay. So my encouragement to all of us is that fasting can be abstaining from food coming into your body. Fasting, I think, can also be abstaining from your own desires and doing the will of the Lord, and begin to do certain things, because that's what he says. Is this not the fast I choose for you to help others? So that means we're sacrificing our time, we're sacrificing our finances, we're sacrificing whatever it may be, just like our bodies being sacrificed with the food that's going in, we sacrifice our time. And so, Lord, I just ask that we would understand what you would have each of us do more fully. Lord, I'm not here to tell people what they should do, but you have given us your Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us into truth. And Lord, if you are calling either of us individually to fast at certain times, Lord, let us take that to heart and let us do that in seeking you and to understand your will and your ways. And if you do call us to a corporate fast, which we spoke about and we haven't made a decision about, then let us do that with honor. Let us do it not making a big show of it. Let's just come before you and put these things down before your feet and make our requests known to you, Lord. And it says, we will call and we will cry and you will respond and you will say, here I am. Amen.